going to give you just a very little bit of this message that we started today, and you can pull that up. The title of the message is Seeking the Most Important Things. Seeking the Most Important Things. This is based on the fact that Jesus said to seek His kingdom. But seeking the most important things is the title. And here's the thing. Again, when Jesus talked to His disciples and when He taught His disciples, when He was making disciples and teaching them what to teach others when making disciples, one of the things He said was to seek God's kingdom. Why? Because if you're not seeking God's kingdom, you're going to begin to seek your own kingdom. And you're going to make life all about you and instead of about Him, the honor of Him, and the salvation of others. And so we're going to just start here, and we'll get as far as we can. But I have questions that I'm going to ask you, and I may have to do it a little bit, and you know, kind of rapidly. But we're going to start in the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink, or about your body what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" Now, Jesus is asking, He's saying this, and He's asking this question to people 2,000 years ago. But how many of you understand things don't change a whole lot when it comes to the human nature? And so what are people after? What are they chasing today? What are they, you know, they're trying to find some kind of security financially and so on and so forth. And we'll find ourselves worrying about those things. And He doesn't just mean sitting around and going, "Ooh, I sure hope this happens. I'm so worried that it's not going to happen." What He's really talking about is what you're setting your focus on. He says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. What He's saying is don't let those things consume your thoughts and your desires, because I've got something so much better for you. And if you'll seek it, these other things, that's automatic for you. So verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Go ahead and tell your neighbor, you're so much more valuable than a bird. Listen, tell them, even the spotted owl. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Has anybody here by worrying ever added anything to your life? No, you take away your life. You'll give yourself ulcers and stomach problems and all kinds of stuff by worrying. You'll give yourself a whole lot of misery by worrying, but you're not going to add anything good to your life by worrying. And verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And listen, for us, it's not so much that we're worried about not having it. It's just, again, that we're always focused on those things. That's what He's really talking about. So, I mean, you might be able to afford the most expensive clothes and the most expensive food and the most expensive things and still be worried about it, because that's what your focus is always set on. So that's really what He's dealing with, is where is your focus? And notice what it says in verse 32. He says, for the pagans run after these things. You know what a pagan is? A pagan is someone who doesn't believe in God. A pagan is someone who basically believes and depends on themselves. A pagan is a humanist. A pagan is their own God, right? And He says, the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. No need to run after Him if He knows you need them. And if He's your heavenly Father, He knows how to get it to you. But this is what He tells us to do. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, how many of you discovered that? You don't have to go looking for more trouble. You don't have to worry yourself about tomorrow, because you still got to deal with today, right? And so it would be nice. I really would have appreciated it. I mean, to me personally, if I were Jesus, I think I would have wanted to say something a little different than he said this one time when he was talking about trouble. Personally, I think it would have been wonderful if Jesus would have said, "When you come to me, you will never have trouble ever again as long as you live." Wouldn't that have been nice? I mean, that would have been just absolutely wonderful. But he didn't say that. Instead, he said just the opposite. He said, "You will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." And here's the wonderful thing about Jesus is that even if we'll take the trouble and surrender the trouble to him, he'll take it and make something beautiful out of it. So let me ask you the question, first question this morning: what is most important to you? Now, that's not a question you can quickly answer. That's not a question. We know the religious answer. We know the spiritual answer. We know the answer we're supposed to have. It's kind of like when you teach little kids in Sunday school and in church and Sunday school or in classes, a lot of times, you know, 90% of the time, the answer is God, Jesus, right? And so we know what the right answer is supposed to be, but sometimes we're not honest about that answer. And yet, nothing can happen. You can't come into the fullness of God because you can't come into the fullness of surrender unless you really know the answer to that question and get it right. And chances are, none of us have this answer right until we really allow God to take his spotlight and search our heart and begin to expose our own motives and those things to us. So what is most important to you? I asked the question in the last group of messages that I taught, that the question was, what is it in your life, if it were taken away, would cause you to lose your faith? What is it in your life, if it were taken away, would cause you to point your finger at God and be mad at him and refuse to serve him? What is it, if it were taken away from you, would cause you to backslide and not serve God? If you can think of anything or anyone, you have identified who your real God is. Now, that's reality. It's not a reality we like to think about, but it's reality. So what is most important to you? And here's the problem with humanity. Sometimes we forget stuff. Sometimes we got a bad memory. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody else in this room ever forget why you walked into the next room? Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you in the middle of saying something forgot what you were about to say? We forget things, right? And so sometimes we just forget the most important things. Now, just to get this kicked off, let me just share this little story with you. There was a man who moved into a retirement community, and he was going to spend the rest of his life in that retirement community. And it wasn't long before he had made a bunch of friends, but there was this one particular lady that really caught his eye. Now, they were both in their lower 90s, but she just really caught his eye, you know, and she was also attracted to him as well. And they spent a lot of time together doing, you know, whatever people do in retirement communities. And finally, one evening, he proposed to her and he asked her to marry him. The next morning, he woke up and he remembered that he had proposed, but he couldn't remember her answer. And so he approached this lady of interest, and he says, "I am so sorry and I'm so embarrassed, but I proposed to you last night. I remember that, but I can't remember whether or not you said yes or no." Immediately, you saw relief wash over her face, and she said, "Oh, thank goodness." She said, "I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who I said yes to." Sometimes we can forget the most important things. And so today, I want to keep things really simple, but I want to leave you with a few thoughts from Matthew 6 that'll help us to remember what's really important to God. Now, I'm going to go over just a little bit. Is that okay with everybody? So, most important thing, number one, is this: seek to put God's kingdom first in every area of your life. Again, this, when we talk about seeking his kingdom or putting his kingdom first, sometimes it's one of them things that we learn to say because it's the spiritual thing to say. But the question is, are we really doing it? Are we really seeking His kingdom first in every area of our life. Because you see, our problem is we get compartmentalized where we separate this from this from this from this. So I have my work life and I have my church life. I have my family life, I have my church life. I have my secular life and I have my spiritual life or my church life. Y'all understand? And we can compartmentalize, and as a result, we'll talk different, act different, do differently. I mean, we could be the most spiritual thing around when we're sitting in church with a bunch of other spiritual people, but it's a whole different ballgame when I'm out there dealing with the real world, right? That's the reality of it for many people, and we can compartmentalize. And men are worse than women about that, because we literally can, I mean, that's how our brain works. Now, I don't know about some of you guys in here. I don't know if you're different than me, but I have the ability to literally sit and think about absolutely nothing. I can do that. Now, how many of you men can do that? Okay, how many of you men can't do that? Raise your hand. You weirdos. You guys are just, no, we're wired differently. And I'm talking about in generalities. Okay, so I can use me and Pastor Cindy as an example, and some of you, it's going to be just the opposite. But for me, because that's the way my brain works, I can focus on pretty much one thing at a time. It's difficult to focus on more than one thing at a time. Her brain, it's always going. It doesn't stop. It's always going. And so she can ask me, what am I thinking about? And I say, nothing. And that's hard for her to believe. Now, I think as she's getting a little older, she says, you know, I'm starting to actually be able to think about nothing sometimes, you know. And I say, welcome. Welcome to the higher levels of life, you know. But the truth of the matter is, especially for years, her brain would not stop. And it was, so she couldn't believe. She'd always say, you can't possibly be thinking about nothing. I'd say, I was until you started talking to me and making me think. And the reason we can do that is because we compartmentalize. Now, I understand, and I know several men who are not like me in that. No, actually, look, we're all different. So in general, men and women are different in a lot of ways, but there are some ways, to be honest with you, I'd tell Pastor Cindy, you know, I'm different than other men in a lot of ways. And sometimes I'm like, am I one of those confused people who don't know if I'm, you know, because there are some ways where I'm, honestly, I can be more like a woman and she can be more like a man because we're all made different, okay? And I'm just talking about in our thinking patterns and things like that, okay? So believe me, I'm not gender confused, okay? I understand. I know what I am. But here's the thing. Are we seeking to put God first in every area of our life? Because God's kingdom speaks of His leadership and His authority. That's what the kingdom is. So when we talk about seeking His kingdom, what we're really talking about is seeking to put Him first in everything and allowing Him to have control of everything. How many of you have discovered that the hardest thing in life to do is to get out of control and let somebody else be in control? It's the constant problem that we wrestle with. It's the constant thing that we deal with. Because listen, if we could just stay out of control and always let the Holy Spirit be in control, then we would never do anything wrong. We would never say anything wrong. We would never break any of God's commandments. We would never do anything that would grieve the heart of God if we would stay under the authority and keep ourselves under the authority of the Holy Spirit and His rule in our lives. Now, can we do that? Sure we can. It's a choice we make. The problem is that we many times are not seeking to keep His kingdom first in our life. So how many of you know that God is not simply our advisor? He's not just an advisor. He didn't come into your life so He can just give you some good advice from time to time to make your life better. God doesn't just offer suggestions to us. I don't see anywhere in the scripture, anywhere where God was dealing with anybody where He just said, look, I'm going to suggest this to you, but you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Now, if you find one like that, I'd like to see it because I've never seen it, but I have seen many times where God said, do this, do that, do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. So He's not an advisor. He is Lord. He is the King. We have to do it His way. Our life is not going to work the way it's supposed to. If we don't obey the manufacturer's instructions, we're not going to work right. Stuff's going to not work right. So his wisdom is wisdom that we should never challenge. His ways are ways we should never deviate from if we want the best in life. If we want to fulfill our God-given purpose for being on this earth. Because his rule over all things is vitally important for us to function the way he created us to function. And we must choose to be under his rule. And so that's what it means to seek his kingdom. Kingdom means king's domain. That's where we get the word, king's domain. And so when we refuse to do things God's way, we're moving in the opposite direction of the king. And when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, remember what he said. And this wasn't to be repeated over and over again till it means nothing to you. But he said to pray, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. What is he saying? Your rule come. You be in charge of my life. I make the final decision to let you make all the rest of my decisions. He told them, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all know who rules in heaven. The problem is somehow because we're on earth, we think that he doesn't need to rule on earth. Now, that's the right answer. If somebody were to ask you, we'd say, oh yeah, God is, he's to rule everywhere. And we say that, but then when it comes down to practically actually letting him rule in our lives, we buck against that. Seeking the kingdom of God first means that we are seeking his will, yielding every area of our lives to what he wants rather than what we want. So are we really seeking the kingdom? So one of the things Jesus told his disciples is, guys, if you're going to be who I created you to be, you've got to seek God's kingdom. Now, yielding every area of our lives is something that very few people get to. We have this thing where, again, because we're compartmentalized, well, God, I give you this part, but this part I stay in control of. I give you this part, but I want to be mad when I want to be mad. I'll give you this part, but I want to hold a grudge when I want to hold a grudge. I'll give you this part, but leave my money alone. I give you this part, but God, you know, I wanted to do this. This is my time, and I wanted to do it. And so let me ask you some questions. We're going to go through this and we're going to end with this after this list of questions. You don't have to say yes or no. You don't have to raise your hand. This is only for self-reflection. Okay? This is God putting the spotlight. You know, we open our heart, let him put the spotlight in there and see what's in there and show it to us. Okay? So let's examine ourselves. Understand this question, the first question, is God ruling in your life? Is he really ruling in your life? Is he really ruling? Is he really the boss? And understand, when he rules in love. He's never going to have us do something that's not for our benefit. Amen? And when I say for our benefit, I don't mean just instant feel-good benefit. I'm talking about eternal benefit, right? Laying up treasures in heaven. So does he really have the final say in your home? Does God have the final say in your home? Here's another one. Does God have the final say in your finances? And I always say when I talk about money, we're not going to take another offering here, so you don't have to worry. But does he really have the final say in your finances? You say, oh yeah, I give my tithe every Sunday. Yeah, but does he have the final say in your finances? Not just getting you to tithe on a Sunday. Do you handle your money the way God would want you to handle your money? Are you using money in a way that in some kind of way would dishonor him? So are you honoring him as your provider in the best way that you know how? And I do expect that it's going to be real quiet in here while I'm asking all these questions, because I know that's because you're thinking. It's introspective. That's good. But are you honoring him as your provider in the best way you know how? Are you putting your faith in your own ability to survive and, you know, pay your bills and so on and so forth? Or do you really see God as the source of those things? Are you being honest in all your financial dealings? Because if you're not being honest in your financial dealings, you're not putting your faith in God. You're putting your faith in your own manipulative ways. Y'all don't have to look me in the eye or anything, okay? What about your taxes? Are you being honest in your taxes? It always gets super quiet with this kind of stuff. It really does. But can I tell you, you know, we'll talk about, we have a whole message we're going to deal with this. On render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render under God that which is God's. But be honest. Do it the right way. You know, people say, well, you know, I'm going to do it for cash and nobody will know, so I don't have to pay the taxes on it. Well, you know, did you ask God about that? Because what you're doing when you do that kind of stuff, if it's underhanded and manipulative, then what you're doing is actually cutting off the flow of blessings in your life. Because you're saying, God, I don't trust you to provide. Now, we should be wise within that which is legal, that the government says is legal. We should be wise with how we handle taxes, so on and so forth. Wise investments, those kind of things. But we should be honest. Can I get a bigger amen? Amen. I told somebody, because we're landlords too, and so had somebody that, that they were being consistently late and so on and so forth, and they had paid most of the rent but left a little bit out, and they didn't think it was anything of it. And so I had to tell them, look, understand, this is income. This is our income. How would you like it if your company that you worked for was paying you late, not paying you on time, and causing you to have other issues because they wouldn't pay you on time, and then they hold some of it back, and just because it's not a whole lot, are you just going to say, oh, don't worry about it, company, keep that money, just keep it? Well, he hadn't thought of it that way, right? And most people don't think of it that way, okay? So here's the thing. We should be doing that which is honorable all the time, because we do what we do is under the Lord. Are you honoring him with your money? When he says, bring the tenth into the storehouse, do you do it? Or do you trust in your own flesh? Do you come to the place and say, man, I can't afford to do that? Well, then, you better go before God and you better talk to him about it. And you need to get his heart on this situation. It's not I'm going to punish you if you don't do it. That's not what it is. It's more, God says, this is the way to be blessed. I want to bring that blessing to you, but you got to open the door. Okay. And so here's another thing. Are you always trying to get something for nothing, regardless of who comes out on the short end? Are you always trying to look for the best deal? Listen, this hits me between the eyes. I'm always looking for the best deal. I'm a thrifty shopper, right? I'm always looking for the best deal. But we have to be careful, because we can hurt, especially in this day and age, the smaller businesses, man, they're struggling. They're struggling right now. The mom and pop shops, they're struggling right now. And it's real easy to just always look for the best deal, but we don't even bother to ask God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to get involved or be a blessing in my own community to the mom and pop shops and so on? Do you want me to do that? Or do you want me to just look for the best deal? It's his money. Ask him about it. So are you more motivated by financial gain than financial integrity? Now, let me jump into something else. Okay, we'll get off of that. Let's jump into something else. Does God have the final say in your relationships? Does he have the final say in your relationships, husband and wife? Does he have the final say in your relationships, employer to employee, or employee to employee, or people in your church, or with your siblings, or whoever else in your relationships? Does he have the final say in your relationships, or have you taken control of that? Oh, yeah, I'll be around this one, but that one there, I wrote them off. They said too much, did too much. Yeah, well, Jesus said, pray for them. Jesus said, love them. Do you love people unselfishly, looking out for their long-term interest, i.e. their eternal destiny? Or are you only looking for your interest? God wants us to value every human being, knowing that he or she is created in the image of Almighty God, and they cost him all his blood. That leaves no room for people using other people to get what they can out of them for their own selfish purposes, but not even caring about their eternity. People are not tools to better your life. And can I tell you, that includes people who bring services, the plumber, the electrician, whoever. Remember, if God puts them in your life, there's an eternal reason why. Do we bother to even ask him about it? We're talking about seeking his kingdom, okay? So God wants us to know that he values them. And so we should value them as well. Now, here's a tough question. Do you ever allow people into your life who can do nothing for you? They can't do anything for you. Do you allow them or in your life? Why? Because God should be ruling in your relationships, and every relationship should have an eternal purpose, not just a what I can get out of them purpose. Y'all hear me? Husbands and wives, if you live your life for only what I can get out of that person, what they can do for me, you're going to be two miserable people. So what's one thing you can do to seek God's will in your relationships? Well, I'll say this, at least bother to ask him about it. Okay, does God have the final say on how you spend your time? There's another one. Man, time is the most valuable thing we have. Does God have the final say on how you spend your time? Or do you have that? How much time do you actually spend with God? How much time is given to others, and how much time is spent on just yourself? How about your talents and your giftedness? Do you know that God's given every person in this room gifts, talents, abilities? I remember reading many years ago that every person has at least 700 natural gifts and talents or abilities that God gave them. Most of them never get discovered because people aren't going to step out. But we all have gifts, talents, and abilities. Have we asked God, how can I use what you've given me somehow for your glory, for your kingdom? Some people are good at stuff other people aren't good at. Some people are great talkers. Other people are not. Some people are wonderful with working with their hands. Other people are not. Some people are great mechanics. Other people are not. Some people are great at cooking. Other people are not, right? There's lots of different, but we don't think of those as really gifts, abilities, or talents that we can use for the Lord, but have you ever bothered to ask Him about it? So God equipped you to do certain things. Are they being used for the expansion of His kingdom? Does God have the final say on how, when, and where you use those gifts? Now, I just threw a whole bunch at you in a real short time, and I'm not meaning to be overwhelming, but this is really just to kind of get this message started. But start with at least one thing today, one thing that struck a chord in your heart, one thing that God brings to your mind, and begin to ask God for a strategy of how to seek His kingdom and put His kingdom first. How to seek His kingdom, His rule in our lives. How God can rule over this area of my life and that area of my life. Start with one thing. See, we have to make it our habit to align ourselves with God's will in every area of our lives. And so as you pray, as you talk to the Lord, remember, praying is not just asking God for a bunch of stuff. I am convinced that prayer, real prayer, never gets wasted, but there's a lot of prayers that get prayed that pretty much just get wasted. It's just wasted air because, first of all, we're not, many times it's just selfishly seeking something from God, like He's the big sugar daddy in the sky. But most prayer, I believe, should be seeking the will of God. God, show me what you want. You show me what you want, what you want me to say, what you want me to do, how you want me to act in a certain situation. I want to know what your will is. And don't take the lazy way out like people do and say, well, God, if it's your will, do this. No, what is His will? Find out His will. Once you know His will, you can stand on it. You can, and He'll let His will be known in His word, by the way. It'll always agree with His word. But once you know what His will is, you can stand on that and you can declare it, because when you know His will, you can have faith to actually see it come about. If you don't know His will, you can't even begin to act in faith. So ask the Lord to show you, what is your will for my life in these areas? And when He shows you, for instance, if He shows you how you can take this particular gift and use it for His kingdom, then if He showed you that and you know that's His will, then what can stop you? So it's just as simple as this. Lord, what is your will for my home? What is your will for my finances? Listen, if, when it comes to the home, I don't want to make decisions for my home, for my family that don't honor God. I don't want to make decisions that are going to harm my family or harm those watching my family. So, Lord, what is your will for my home? What is your will for my finances? What is your will for my time? What is your will for my talents and giftings? And what is your will for my relationships? Because first and foremost, I want to seek the kingdom of God in every area of my life. Look, you've already made a mad dash to the altar. Well, some of you did. But just know the altar is open. The altar is always open. We tell people, look, during praise and worship time, during the message, it don't matter. If you want to come to this altar, this area is where you and God do business together. So the altar is open. But let's just get real this morning. If you're in this house today and you can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt that you always put God's will first, that you always seek His kingdom first, that you always honor God with your decisions, then this is for you. And so I want to invite you, even if it's just for a few moments, to take that step. Some of you already came to the altar. I want to invite you to do it again. Just take that step forward to declaring to God from this point on, Lord, I acknowledge that I have not put you first in every area of my life, because with that honesty can come true surrender and true freedom and true miracles. So I'm just going to give you a few moments. If you need to step out of your seat, step out of your seat. Just come on to the altar. We're going to pray just for a few minutes, and we're going to let you get out of here. But I felt like we have to give people an opportunity to respond to this today. Now, Father, you see the hearts of every person here, Lord. You know the heart. Father, we know that when you search our hearts, it's not for you to find out what's in there, because you already know. It's for us to find out what's in there. Now, Lord, we've just been talking about the last several weeks about what's in your heart. Well, today, Father God, I thank you that you take us to another place, another level, Lord, of looking and examining what's in there, God. What is, Lord, what is getting in the way of your kingdom work being done in and through my life? And so, Father, today, and look, just lift your hands to the Lord and surrender today. Just lift your hands to Him. Lord, today, God, we say we thank you for a fresh start, for a new beginning. God, we've blown it so many times, Lord. We've not sought your kingdom first, God. Lord, but today we say we want to seek your kingdom. Father, by your grace, and it's only by your grace that we can live that way. But Father, we live that way, Father, according to your word. Lord, and we ask you to help us to live in a way where we always put you first, where we seek your kingdom in every area of our lives, God. Lord, we ask you to invade our home. We ask you to invade our finances. We ask you to invade our times and our time and our talents and our relationships, Father, no matter what those include. Father, we ask you to be first and foremost in our hearts and our minds, Father, that we might honor you in all of these things. Now, Lord, I thank you that you are faithful. Lord, your word declares, Father, that when we come to you, you are faithful, not just to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God, Father, as we begin to step into this and looking at what Jesus said about seeking your kingdom, Father, I pray, make it come alive to us, Father. Lord, open our hearts, give us revelation of what your intention is, and help us, Father. Help us, Father, to live this out for your glory and for your honor. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We glorify your name. We glorify your name.